Nemoto presents Scientific Giants. Albert Einstein, The Relativity of Genius. Narrated with Microsoft Azure using the Ava voice. Running time, approximately 14 minutes. Albert Einstein is one of those rare names that transcends science and enters everyday language. To call someone an Einstein is to call them a genius. His wild hair and twinkling eyes became a symbol for scientific brilliance itself. But behind the caricature is a story richer and more human. A boy who struggled with school, a patent clerk who daydreamed about light beams, a refugee who fled hatred, a pacifist who feared the weapon born of his own theories, and a man who tried until his last breath to read the mind of God in the fabric of the cosmos. In this episode of Science Giants, we trace the life of Albert Einstein, not as a myth, but as a person, full of doubts, joys, contradictions, and an unquenchable hunger to understand. He was born on March 14, 1879, in Ulm, in the Kingdom of Württemberg, part of the German Empire. His parents, Hermann and Pauline, were secular Jews. Hermann ran an electrical equipment company with his brother. Pauline nurtured Albert's curiosity and introduced him to music. Family lore has it that when Albert was very young, perhaps 4 or 5, he was struck with wonder by a simple gift, a compass. Watching the needle swing as if guided by an invisible hand, he felt awe at unseen forces shaping the world. That sense of mystery, how invisible rules govern visible things, would never leave him. Despite later myths, Einstein was not a poor student. He excelled in mathematics and had an independent mind that resisted rote learning. In Munich, he enrolled at the Luitpold Gymnasium, where teachers demanded obedience. He found the drill stifling, and clashes with authority became a pattern. At 15, without finishing school, he left Germany for Italy, joining his family, who had moved to Milan after Hermann's business failed. Einstein wandered the streets, read philosophy and science on his own, and decided he would devote himself to understanding nature. But he needed credentials. He applied to the Swiss Federal Polytechnic in Zurich. At his first attempt, he failed the non-science portions of the entrance exam. He was sent to finish school in Aarau, where he found an environment far more encouraging. His teachers valued curiosity, not discipline for its own sake. Einstein thrived and soon was admitted to the Polytechnic in 1896. There he trained as a teacher of physics and mathematics. He was not an ideal student. He often skipped classes, preferring to study independently. But he formed crucial friendships, including with Mileva Marić, a fellow student from Serbia who would become his first wife. By 1900, he graduated, but struggled to find work. Professors were not inclined to recommend him. He was too independent, too dismissive of authority. For a few years, he lived precariously, tutoring and relying on friends. Finally, in 1902, he secured a steady, if modest, job at the Swiss Patent Office in Bern. His task was to evaluate inventions for practicality. It was routine work, but it left his mind free to wander. He later said the patent office was a worldly cloister where he developed his best ideas. At night, he met with friends in what they jokingly called the Olympia Academy, discussing philosophy and physics over cheap meals. Then came the Annus Mirabilis, the miracle year, 1905. In that year, at age 26, Einstein published 4 papers in the Annalen der Physik that would transform physics. One explained the photoelectric effect, how light, when shining on metal, could eject electrons. He proposed that light itself came in discrete packets, quanta, later called photons. That idea laid the foundation of quantum theory. Another paper analyzed Brownian motion, the jittery dance of pollen grains in water. He showed this could be explained if matter was composed of atoms, providing strong evidence for their reality. His 3rd paper introduced special relativity, tearing down the Newtonian concept of absolute space and time. If the speed of light was constant for all observers, then time itself must stretch or contract depending on motion, and simultaneity was relative. Finally, he derived a simple but profound relation. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, E equals mc squared. That equation would become the most famous in science, implying that matter could be transformed into enormous amounts of energy. Einstein's 1905 papers were revolutionary, but recognition came slowly. He remained at the patent office, continuing his day job. Yet the small community of physicists began to take notice. In 1909, he finally left the patent office for an academic post in Zurich. He advanced quickly, moving to Prague, then back to Zurich, and by 1914, he was called to Berlin to join the Prussian Academy of Sciences. Berlin placed him at the center of German science, but it also marked turmoil in his personal life. His marriage to Mileva had frayed, and though they had two sons, they separated. Einstein later married his cousin Elsa. He was not, by most accounts, an easy partner, absorbed in his work, careless of convention. The war years brought him both isolation and opportunity. While many German scientists signed declarations supporting militarism, Einstein refused. He was a pacifist and internationalist at heart, appalled by the slaughter. In those same years, he pursued his greatest scientific achievement, the general theory of relativity. Published in 1915, it extended the principle of relativity to include acceleration and gravity. In place of Newton's view of gravity as a force between masses, Einstein described gravity as the curvature of space-time itself. Massive objects warped the geometry around them, and free-falling bodies followed the straightest paths in that curved geometry. The theory was both mathematically beautiful and conceptually audacious. Testing it was difficult, but one dramatic prediction was that light passing near the sun would bend. In 1919, during a solar eclipse, expeditions led by Arthur Eddington measured starlight deflected just as Einstein predicted. The news made headlines around the world. Overnight, Einstein became a celebrity, the genius who bent the universe to his equations. He relished the fame at first, but it also became a burden. Reporters pursued him. His face appeared on magazine covers. The image of the absent-minded professor with unruly hair was born. Fame had a darker side. As a Jew in Germany, he became a target for anti-Semitic attacks, especially as political currents turned toward nationalism. He used his platform to advocate for peace and for Zionism, supporting the idea of a Jewish cultural homeland in Palestine. He traveled widely, visiting the United States, Britain, and Japan, lecturing to packed halls. In 1921, he was awarded the Nobel Prize in Physics, not for relativity, which was still controversial, but for the photoelectric effect, which had more immediate experimental backing. The 1920s and 1930s brought new challenges. Quantum mechanics blossomed, developed by younger physicists like Heisenberg, Schrödinger, and Bohr. Einstein had helped birth the quantum with his work on photons, but he grew skeptical of its interpretation. The idea that nature was governed by probabilities troubled him. God does not play dice, he insisted. Debates between Einstein and Niels Bohr became legendary, probing the philosophical depths of physics. Einstein respected the achievements of quantum mechanics, but never accepted that it was the final word. Then came the rise of Nazism. By 1933, it was clear Einstein could not remain in Germany. He resigned from the Prussian Academy and emigrated to the United States, accepting a position at the newly founded Institute for Advanced Study in Princeton, New Jersey. There he found a permanent refuge, a small community of scholars dedicated to pure research. He never returned to Germany. As Europe descended into war, Einstein the pacifist faced a terrible dilemma. In 1939, with Nazi Germany threatening to build powerful new weapons, colleagues persuaded him to sign a letter to President Roosevelt warning of the potential for atomic bombs. That letter, drafted by physicist Leo Szilard and signed by Einstein, helped spur the Manhattan Project. Einstein himself did not work on the bomb, but he later regretted his role in the letter, calling it his one great mistake. He hoped his equations would bring enlightenment, not destruction. During his Princeton years, Einstein pursued a grand quest, a unified field theory. He sought to merge gravity and electromagnetism into a single framework, believing that nature's laws must ultimately be unified. For decades, he worked mostly alone, chasing this dream. He did not succeed, and many younger physicists thought him out of touch, ignoring the fertile field of quantum theory. Yet his stubbornness was also a testament to his vision. He believed deeply in the rational harmony of the universe. Einstein's public voice grew as important as his science. He spoke out against fascism, racism, and nationalism. In America, he championed civil rights, supporting W.E.B. Du Bois and Paul Robeson. He saw parallels between the persecution of Jews in Europe and the oppression of Black Americans. He called racism America's worst disease. After the war, he opposed nuclear weapons, warning of annihilation. In 1955, just before his death, he signed the Russell-Einstein Manifesto, calling on nations to renounce war in the nuclear age. Even in his later years, he remained playful and curious. Visitors to Princeton recalled him walking the streets in his rumpled sweater, often without socks, lost in thought. He played violin with friends, finding solace in Mozart and Bach. His desk remained cluttered with papers, sketches of equations sprawling across them. He never lost the sense of wonder that began with that childhood compass. He once said, "The most incomprehensible thing about the universe is that it is comprehensible." On April 18, 1955, Einstein died at the age of 76. His last hours were spent in Princeton Hospital, still muttering equations, still working. His brain was removed for study, a controversial decision, and became a relic in the history of science. But what mattered more was the legacy of ideas. Relativity reshaped physics. GPS satellites today correct for its effects, nuclear energy testifies to E equals mc squared, and his image, mischievous tongue sticking out in a famous photo, endures as a symbol of human genius. Einstein's story is not only about breakthroughs in physics, but about the character of science itself. Curiosity, humility before nature, courage to defy convention, and responsibility for knowledge. He taught us that space and time are woven together, that energy and mass are two faces of one reality, that gravity is geometry, and that even the most familiar concepts can be illusions. Yet he also taught us that science is a profoundly human endeavor, shaped by laughter, friendship, exile, love, and conscience. To this day, the questions he left remain. Can the forces of nature be unified? Is the universe ultimately deterministic or ruled by chance? Can humanity live wisely with the power science gives it? Einstein did not answer them all, but he gave us a vision of the pursuit. To keep asking, to never stop wondering. Albert Einstein, the patent clerk who dreamed of riding a beam of light, changed our understanding of reality. His genius was not a magic gift, but a relentless curiosity and an independence of thought that dared to imagine differently. His life reminds us that even in times of upheaval, the human mind can stretch toward the infinite.